Welcome to this new edition of Dognostics Podcast, where two ladies and a couple of dogs all hang out and geek out regarding dogs, dog behavior, pet care, and anything else pet professional. Today's podcast is about how you effectively and positively house train your dog. And I think this is a really important topic at the moment because lots of people are bringing foster dogs and puppies into their homes because of the current pandemic. So, depending on your dog, your family, and your lifestyle, house training a dog can be pretty much anywhere from easy to almost impossible. And lots of dog owners get lucky, and in spite of the mistakes they unwillingly make or unknowingly make, they actually find themselves with a house-trained dog. When I got my first puppy, I lived in Hawaii, and we had a one-level bungalow that had doors that opened up to the outside from every single room. And in Hawaii, the climate is so perfect, houses don't tend to have heating or air conditioning, so you can leave your doors open all day. So as my first puppy, I didn't really have to do anything because puppy could just sort of come and go under the supervision of myself and or my husband. Now, on the other hand, some dog owners need help from a dog trainer or a dog behavior counselor. And that there is a small number of pet owners that become absolutely desperate because everything they do, even under professional counsel, seems futile. Now, I'm a dog training professional and I have 20 years of experience. And let me tell you, I brought a new dog into my home in 2008. That was a rescue dog. She lived in a crate for the first few weeks because she was really ill. She had IVs. She had the full gamut of worms and all kinds of skin problems. And after we'd got her health back to top notch, we then realized that not only was she not house trained, but because she spent so much time in a crate and prior to bringing her home, had spent so much time in a kennel where she couldn't really go out, that defecating and urinating where she slept and where she lived was absolutely normal. And I had to pull out all the stops with this little dog, literally had to go back to pretending she was 7 weeks old and had no history of any kind of training. So I put together a plan. So the more difficult house training cases are difficult to crack because the dog may actually have been reverse house trained. And the example I just gave you with Gizmo was really extreme. But there are lots of other dogs that have issues because owners have actually reinforced them going to the bathroom inside or not prevented it and haven't provided the adequate reinforcement for the dog going to the bathroom in the right location. So I say that they are dogs that have inadvertently received the wrong reinforcement or inappropriate reinforcement, and therefore they've actually been trained, reinforced for going in the house. Other difficult types of house training cases can include puppies that come from pet stores or puppy mills or backyard breeders. And again, this is because often the puppy's been raised or contained in unsanitary conditions and they've had no alternative. So they've eaten and slept in the same area that they've used the bathroom. So what I came up with many years ago was a very, very, very diligent and rigid house training program that I'm absolutely convinced can crack the most difficult of house training issues, unless there is an underlying medical issue, which obviously with an older dog, it's best to get that checked first because there may be bladder problems, there might be infections. So you want to rule out any type of medical difficulty. So what I have here is the 10 rules to house training that you should be relieved, no pun intended, to find that if you implement it, you can have a house trained dog in 10 days. Now, what do I mean by 10 days? I mean that within 10 days, you can have a dog that is comfortably, happily, even alerting to going outside. Doesn't mean that with a puppy or a younger dog that the dog is solid because they can only hold their bladder for as long as they can hold their bladder. And if you leave a dog, even a house trained dog, in an environment where it just cannot access the outside area, at some point there's going to be an accident. So let's talk through this. So the first thing is managing the environment. So before you start any training plan, you've got to ensure that the home is completely and utterly free from urine stains and odors. And that means that you'll have to purchase a black light and a pet odor remover from your local pet store. And then when it's dark, turn off all your lights and thoroughly inspect your home, the carpets, furniture, and tiled areas, any area where the animals had access to. And the black light will reveal any old protein stains from urine or from any other body fluids. And make sure that you thoroughly, thoroughly clean that up, because you are fighting an ongoing battle if you're trying to house train a puppy or a dog, but at the same time, there are smells of urine or feces in the home, because that's going to attract the animal to them. If you don't already have one, purchase a really good quality wire crate that's large enough for your dog to stand up in, lie down in, and turn around. And for puppies and stuff, I also recommend an X-Pen. And you can actually put the crate inside the X-Pen, or you can get really smart and you can halve the X-Pen, take it apart, and then reconnect it on either sides of the crate. So the crate is sort of separate but contained. So the dog then has the X-Pen to play in and to eat in and drink in and have its toys, but at night it can go in its crate and it can we can still learn the crate's a really safe place. You're going to want to place that crate in a quiet but not isolated part of the house. You don't want to isolate dogs. Dogs are our family members, but you also want to make sure that it's nice and quiet, so it's a place they can go to, they can relax in, and they're not constantly being disturbed by household noises or excitement. And you're going to want some Kongs or some other safe interactive toys that you can use. So pretty much what we're going to do in terms of managing the environment is that we're not going to give the puppy or the dog the ability or access to go to the bathroom without you being there with them. That means that you are going to be supervising them 24/7. So if you are not physically attached to your puppy or your dog, or playing with them or exercising them or walking them, and you're not there to supervise, and puppy's gonna go into his X-Pen or a crate, all right? It's like with a child, we would pop them into a little child pen if mom can't supervise them. You don't have, you know, 6-month-old children crawling around homes, putting their fingers in inappropriate places. So on this plan, you're gonna have a 24-hour management schedule, and that schedule is gonna include potty breaks, walk breaks, play breaks, training breaks, time to eat, time to drink, time to do everything, and time for the bathroom. And you're going to stick to it diligently. And depending on how old the puppy or the dog is will depend on how much time is in between those and when the puppy comes out for breaks. So with Gizmo, my little Hezbollah monster dog that I had to literally pull out all the stops for, I was taking her out to the bathroom every 2 hours. Overnight as well, my husband couldn't believe it. I was getting up every 2 hours and taking her outside so that there was never a possibility that she would defecate or urinate in her crate or anywhere else. And she was constantly supervised. She was on a mat next to me in my office or on my lap. And she was only a 9-pound dog. At the time, she was about a 3.5-pound dog. So she was very heavily supervised anyway because she was so tiny. So, and if you can't be home during sort of the midday breaks, you might have to get a bit creative. You can hire a dog walker or a pet sitter that can come on in and help you with that portion of it. So the bottom line is, with these really difficult cases to crack, is that you have to plan for all contingency. You do not want any errors. And if you have an error, you take up a newspaper, you roll it super tight, and you bang yourself over the butt and say, "Bad, bad, bad, bad dog owner trainer. I made a mistake. Let me go back and revisit my plan." So while you are managing for absolute prevention, on the other side of the equation, we're going to be building up massive reinforcement history for going to the bathroom in the right location. Now, another tip that I recommend is that you keep a daily journal. I know with all my dogs, and I've always known how soon after they drink or eat they need to go to the bathroom. And most dogs are creatures of habit. So Doogie goes to the bathroom 3 times a day, and I can tell you exactly almost to the time of day when it's going to happen. Whereas Gizmo, my little dog, only goes to the bathroom in the AM and the PM. And again, pretty much the same time every day. So you know what those habits are, and you need to determine those habits, which is why it's important to keep a journal. Because if you have a small puppy and the puppy goes out in the morning and defecates, then comes in and has breakfast, and you're going to rush off to work, you're pretty much guaranteed that a certain amount of time after breakfast, puppy's going to need to go to the bathroom again. If you go carting off out to work, then that puppy's been set up for failure. They're going to go to the bathroom. All right, so you really need to understand that so that you can change and moderate what happens in your puppy's activities to make sure that you're preventing accidents. So your dog's day is going to include meals, sleep, play, training, and bathroom breaks. And during all these periods, they're either with you in the crate or tethered. so that there's no mistakes. Make sure that the dogs are not put in the crate for punishment. Make sure they don't spend too much time in there, and make sure when they're in there, they have yummy treats or activities which will help with mental enrichment. And the dog's got to be supervised 100% of the time. And again, this is for those really difficult dogs, house training, house breaking habits. But this program I also use and recommend with all my clients, and anyone that gets a rescue dog, I always recommend that bringing a rescue dog into the home, even if it's an older dog, put them straight onto a schedule, get it journaled so you know exactly what's going on. When I bring a rescue dog into my home, I assume they know nothing, nada. And we start from scratch, so we don't have any problems. It's not going to do them any harm at all. And you can also teach them where you would like them to go to the bathroom in your garden. So if you're with the dog and you're actively with the dog, you're sort of walking around the house or you're playing or you're doing something else, you've got to watch for the signs of needing to go to the bathroom. Dog sniffing at the ground, walking in circles, looking uncomfortable. And if you see any of that, quickly get them outside to the designated bathroom area and then talk to rule number 7, which is the next one. So now we're actually moving out of the first 6 points, which fall under management, to training the new behavior. So at the scheduled bathroom times on your journal, take the dog from the crate on a leash and take them to the designated bathroom area. Here's the really important stuff. You don't go outside, let the dog off the leash and play with them. Because for a lot of dogs, and especially puppies, they get too busy and too excited and don't go to the bathroom. And then you go, oh, dog doesn't need to go to the bathroom, take them back in, put them in the crate, and 10 minutes later, you've got a dog weeing in the crate. So you're going out for a bathroom break. So you go out to the designated area on a leash, and you just stand quietly, and you let the puppy or the dog explore, and you just stand in one spot or just walk 4 or 5 feet in either direction. But you don't engage in play or training. You want the dog to focus on going to the bathroom. And because the dog's not getting any positive attention and they're not being played with, you should find that after they've explored what's in that limited area through that restricted area defined by the leash, that then they'll go to the bathroom. The minute they do, click or yes, treats, high value treats, you play, you tell this puppy or dog they are the best thing ever, they are the smartest, the greatest, woo-hoo-hoo, huge big celebrations, okay? So you don't go back inside until there's been some type of bathroom behavior. And if you find you're waiting out there too long and you have to go back inside, you better supervise the dog and then take them back out, because again, you've got to prevent accidents. And you'll find that each time you go out, the dog will go to the bathroom more and more quickly, because the bathroom and finishing that behavior then progresses into a party and play and training and other wonderful stuff, and or a dog walk. So once the dog has finished, you praise them and give them loads of attention, and you celebrate and let them know how remarkable they are. You've got to create a situation where your dog wants to go to the bathroom in that particular area, because there's fun and attention and toys. And why would your dog choose to go anywhere else when this location predicts so much fun? So with Gizmo, going back to my little few pound monster, I had a little tiny yard that was about 4 feet by 4 feet in between my office and the house. And I would go and sit on the step there and just ignore her. And the first couple of nights, she was out there for almost an hour, and I sat there at 2 o'clock in the morning. And as soon as she went to the bathroom, it was woohoo! Then we'd play, and for 10 minutes, we'd have a really good time out there, do some training and take her for a little walk. And gradually I noticed as the days went on that we would then go out and she would go to the bathroom straight away, because the bathroom habit was something she wanted to do so that the really good stuff happened afterwards. And obviously at the same time, it was then going from every 2 hours 20, every 3 hours 20, until eventually we could get all the way through the night, because we were having no accidents and we were building up a massive reinforcement history outside. So only after your dog has been to the bathroom should they be then let off the leash to play or taken for the long walk. One of the biggest mistakes that pet owners make is that they walk their dog, and the minute the dog goes to the bathroom, they turn around and walk home. So the dog learns that when I go to the bathroom, my walk finishes. So they actually almost hold their bathroom habit. So have that, do that first, and then go for a walk and enjoy it, so that the bathroom behavior does not terminate good stuff and then predict going back inside and potentially then the family going away for the day, or they're put into a crate or a room. So the dog learns the more quickly she completes her bathroom behavior, the more quickly they get the reward of treats, play, walk, or all three, which is really, really, really powerful. So you don't want your dog associating their bathroom behavior with an end to play and outside time suddenly finishing and then going back to a boring crate. So point 10 is under the relationship, and when dogs are exposed to consistent accident-free house training systems, you'll be surprised at how quickly they learn. With the right level of commitment and the conscientious use of a training schedule, you can train a dog to be solidly house trained. And this means that the dog will then begin to indicate to you that they want to go outside because that's where they want to go to the bathroom. And again, it does not mean that if you leave a young dog unsupervised and miss the signals that there won't be an accident. That's your fault. A puppy is a puppy. You can't, it's all age-appropriate learning. You can't expect them to learn something that their bodies physically are not able to do, which is to hold in waste products for a very long time. They have small tummies, they eat more, and they eat often. Now, with an older dog, if they're not eating all the time and they're just having one meal a day or two meals a day, their bathroom behaviors are really predictable. With puppies, because they tend to be eating three or four small meals a day plus treats for training, it means they've constantly got food moving through their intestines, so you've got to be on your game. So let's just summarize. Number one, manage for prevention. Clean the environment, create a scenario where the dog is comfortable and safe, but is not going to have an accident. Get your journal going, get your schedule going, and while you're working to prevent accidents, you're going to, on the other side, be making sure that your plan has you going outside often enough to catch all those little peas and those bathroom behaviors and build up a super, supersonic reinforcement history. And before you know what's happening, your dog is going to want to go to the bathroom outside. And I will just say as a caveat to all this, if there's an accident, do not punish your dog. Do not punish your dog. And what do I mean? You don't shout at the dog. Don't create an aversive noise to try and distract them. If the dog is having an accident, quickly scoop them up as quickly as possible and get them outside and go back and look at your training plan. If you punish your dog for having accidents, your dog will just learn to have the accident out of your sight because you're not actually teaching them the appropriate behavior. You're just teaching them it's not safe to have failures in front of mom or dad. All right, so good luck with your house training. There's nothing more pleasant or more reliable than a dog that will happily toddle off to a door and look at you and say, hey, open the door, concierge. I need to go outside and have a bathroom break. So if you're one of those owners that is not lucky enough to have just got it right because you have one of those supersonic dogs that just automatically seems to house train themselves, and you've had a history of dogs that have had little or few accidents, or you're bringing a rescue dog into the home, this is a fabulous plan and program to help you help them get it right. Want strong? Get strong, stay strong. It's your journey, you deserve it. Join teamempoweredwomen.club. Why? In this era of Me Too, busy lives, and now environmental and financial stress, women need a safe harbor, an environment where they can focus on getting strong, being strong, and staying strong for not only us, but for our families. We're wives, mothers, siblings, employees, bosses, aunts, sisters, cousins, and we are us. It's our journey. We deserve it. Visit www.teamempoweredwomen.club. It's free. So that's a wrap for today. See you next time around. Happy training.